Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Jesus became a curse for us so that the blessing of Abraham might come upon us. Amen. Jesus came to restore the blessing of Abraham. Remember, Abraham encountered God because God's eye scans the whole earth looking for those on whose behalf he can show himself strong. Abraham, there was something in Abraham's heart that looked beyond the moon that his peers and his contemporaries and his forefathers had worshipped. And he saw, there's got to be more than that. Because he was going after more, he encountered the God of more. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus came to restore the blessing of Abraham, that blessing that is not contingent upon our performance, but is simply given, simply based upon our believing in the Lord's desire and willingness to bless us. Abraham believed that the Lord would bless him, and so the Lord, it says, accredited his belief to his account as righteousness. All he did was simply believe. The Lord said, I want to bless you. He said, I believe it. And the Lord credited that to his account as righteousness. Righteousness that qualified him as one of those from whom he withholds no good thing. Mm-hmm. Isn't that what it says in Psalm 84? Yeah. He withholds no good thing from those who have righteousness credited to their account, who are declared the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We're looking at this morning. I just want to push on from where we were. Glory to God. And Jesus gave us a memorial to remember that we had a past. To remember that we had a past that he delivered us from. He gave us a memorial so we remember that we inhabit a present that he is with us in, that he is always with us in. And not only that, he gave us a memorial to remember that he has a future prepared for us. Hallelujah. And everything that we need has already been provided, prepared and provided for that future. For every situation we encounter, he has already provided something for that. Prepared something for that. So that we'll always have more than enough to meet every situation and circumstance. Remember, Jesus gave the revelation of what the Father is looking for. Worshippers in spirit and in truth. He gave it to a woman with a past. Gave it to a woman with a past that had excluded her even from her society, from her culture. And you need to understand, her culture was a culture that was despised by the Jews. Everybody in that society was despised by the Jews, and she was despised by the people in the society that was despised by the Jews. I mean, she was really scraping the bottom of the barrel. She was really a bottom feeder. She was really down there. Jesus knew everything about her, and still he blessed her. As I said this morning, just as very quickly as we were finishing, he blessed her by meeting the four basic needs of every person. If you're here tonight and you're a human being and you're alive, you have four basic needs. God designed you to experience the fulfillment of these needs. Hallelujah. Unconditional love. Unconditional love. He loved her unconditionally. He ignored the fact that she was a Samaritan. He ignored the fact that she was a Samaritan woman with a checkered history. He ignored all of these things and just sat down with her and spoke to her as an equal. In that society, a man shouldn't even have been speaking to a woman. Especially a man of his, but he was a rabbi. He should not even have been speaking to a woman. As a Jew, he should not have been speaking to a Samaritan. As I said, if you want to, God spoke to me years ago, he said that you must break out of the cultural mores if you're going to break into the more of God. Jesus came to break us out of the cultural limitations. He blessed her with unconditional love, with security. All of a sudden, she felt secure in his presence. First of all, she maybe thought, who is this guy? Is he coming on to me? She had radar in that department, you know what I'm saying? But all of a sudden, she realized there's something different with this guy. She felt secure. She felt safe. He met her need for acceptance. We all need acceptance. So often that's why young people, you know, they call it peer pressure. You know, peer pressure is just fear pressure. Yeah. It's the fear that people won't like me, the fear that people will reject me if I'm not like them, if I don't do the things they do. I want to tell you, young people, if you're here tonight, or old people, whoever you are, glory to God, because old people experience peer pressure as well. Remember, Abraham had to come out before he could enter in. He had to come out from his people. He had to come out from under the peer pressure just to carry on being a moon worshipper, because that's what everybody was doing. It's pressure on you. It's fear pressure. The fear is that people will reject you. All you need to do is simply believe that if you step out from under that, God's got something way bigger and better for you. All you have to do is simply believe that God wants to bless you with more than your peers are experiencing right now. Hallelujah. Come on. Josie already gave some testimony, but I can testify of the same things. Glory to God. I want to tell you, I got involved in alcohol. You know what it brought into my life? More guilt, more shame, more reproach. That's all. Never brought anything good, only bad. Thank God for deliverance. Hallelujah. Thank God he's removed the shame and the reproach and the guilt and everything else. Hallelujah. And I can remember, I've got a past, glory to God, but all of this yucky mess that was attached to that past has been taken away. Hallelujah. And I've got a testimony to God's goodness. I've got a testimony to God's faithfulness. I've got a testimony to God's mercy and grace. Hallelujah. And that's what that woman ended up with, glory to God. That beautiful Samaritan lady ended up with a testimony. Hallelujah. He didn't only just restore and he didn't just meet her basic needs for unconditional love and security and acceptance, but that fourth most basic need of every individual, purpose. The question goes up, why are we here? What are we here for? What's the reason? Some people, it just becomes a question that they can't answer, and they think the best way out of that is just to end it all. Because they reach a place of such despair and hopelessness that everything that God placed in them just is all of the switches go off one by one. Purpose. She discovered her purpose was to tell everybody that there's a God who loves you. There's a Father. There's a God who longs for you to know Him as Father. For you to respond to His unconditional love with worship. Hallelujah. To discover you were born not just with a body and with a soul, but with a spirit that was designed to communicate, to be in fellowship and relationship with the living God. Worshippers in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. You know, the disciples come back because they've been in town, and they come back and they've been trying to get some food, you know, they've been following their stomachs, you know, like and they say, well, they look and they see Jesus talking, they say, what the hell is he doing talking to her? What's he doing talking to that woman? And Jesus uses this opportunity to raise their perspective. To see the harvest that's already ripe for the picking. To see what's all around them all the time. People with four basic needs. For unconditional love. For security. For acceptance. And for purpose. He said, "There's everywhere you go, you'll meet people. And these are their four basic needs. Go tell them that they are loved unconditionally. That they can find a place of security and acceptance. And they can be restored to a life of purpose when they simply do one thing. They simply believe that Jesus' sacrifice to end all sacrifices for sin was sufficient to remove the guilt and the condemnation associated with their past, to give them an entrance into the presence of Almighty God, where they can now stand before Him holy, blameless, and completely without fault. How can that happen for me? Simply believe that when Jesus went to the cross, what He did was sufficient once and for all and for everyone. All you have to do is simply believe that. Simply choose to believe that. Simply choose to accept the life and the blessing that's attached to that. Hallelujah. Simply step into the more. The more. Step out of the places of limitation into the place where all the limits are off. Hallelujah. Jesus said this, he said, those who are forgiven much, love much. I want to tell you, if your past is forgotten, you lose the joy of being forgiven. Jesus said, remember my death. Remember that at my death, I separated you from the reproach of your past. From the guilt and the shame of your past. You see, in Hebrews chapter 8, the Lord says that He will be merciful to our unrighteousness and that our lawless deeds He will remember no more. That doesn't mean that the Lord suffers from memory loss. He's saying He will not cast up our past. He will not hold it against us. The Lord doesn't forget. But He will not cast up our past or hold it against us. Hallelujah. That's what He's saying. The Lord isn't all of a sudden suffering from dementia. Hallelujah. It's out of that revelation that your sins are forgiven, that your past no longer can impact your future. That's where worship arises from. Worship arises out of the knowledge of the love and the security that is expressed in mercy and forgiveness and acceptance and in purpose. Hallelujah. Worship arises. How else can we respond? We love Him because He first loved us. Amen? In Romans 12, we've looked at this over the past few weeks, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. And so we bring our living sacrifice and we present it on the altar of worship in spirit and truth. Glory to God. I was just reading today in Leviticus chapter 1 where it describes how the sacrifices are to be made. What a bloody mess that was. You know, if you brought from your cattle herd, you had to bring a male, you had to bring a bull without blemish. You didn't just show up at the door of the tabernacle and say to the priest, here's my sacrifice. No, you had to prepare the sacrifice. You had to skin it and butcher it in a particular way. You had to lay your hand on the head of that so that your sins were transmitted to that animal. So that atonement could be made for your sins. They would take the blood and they would sprinkle it all over the altar. Then they would burn your sacrifice. You had to wash the entrails. There was a lot of... come on. Are you not glad? Are you not happy if you brought a lamb, if you brought it from your sheep, you had to bring a male lamb without blemish and go through the same process. If you brought a pigeon or a turtle dove, you had to prepare it in a particular way also. Are you not glad tonight? We need to be more grateful, folks, for the sacrifice to end all sacrifices. You don't have to bring your bulls and your goats anymore, and your sheep or your lambs or your pigeons or your turtle doves.
Thank you, Jesus.
And even that didn't give you an entrance into the Holy of Holies. You didn't even get past the tabernacle door. Only the priests worked in there. And only one of them, the high priest, was allowed right into the Holy of Holies. Well, not only once a year, one day a year. And he couldn't sit down, he had to keep standing and working. Aren't you glad? We need to be more. Worship needs to rise up. Worship needs to rise up out of our hearts. Worship, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. God, I am so grateful for the cross, for the finished work of the cross, for the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world.
Glory!
Oh, come on. Worship arises out of that. The sacrifice that ended all sacrifices. The sacrifice that was once and for all acceptable unto God. It says when they would make these sacrifices, an aroma, a sweet aroma would arise to the Lord. You know what the aroma comes from now? Worship. 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 We need to become that sweet smelling savor to the Lord. Hallelujah. When we worship, oh boy, he says they smell good today. Has anybody ever said, you know, you put on a wee nice wee bit of aftershave, somebody says, oh, you smell good. If you forget your deodorant, somebody might tell you you smell bad. That's not so good. Aren't you glad for deodorant? Aren't you glad they invented antiperspirant? I'm so glad for that. I remember listening to the radio one time, and this fellow was saying, I remember going on the bus in Glasgow when you could still smell people, he said. I want to tell you, until we learn to worship, we smell bad. We smell bad. Because before we learn to worship, we're dead. Dead things smell bad. I was remembering, as I was thinking about this earlier on today, and I was remembering, you know, sometimes I'd go walking in the hills around where we live, and sometimes you'd be walking in the hills, beautiful, you know, everybody talks about the Lewis air, beautiful, fresh air, you know. I was talking to Rachel's mum this morning, she said she'd just been on the island a few days. She said every time she comes, you know, for the first few days, it just knocks her out. You know, she eats more and sleeps more. You know, it increases your appetite and then it knocks you out, you know what I'm saying? But you know, but you'd be out there in the beautiful air, this clear, clear air, and then all of a sudden, something was being carried on this beautiful air that wasn't so nice. And the further you go, you realize there's something dead around here. And then, I'll tell you, for maybe 50, 60, 100 yards, or a few hundred yards sometimes, the smell would carry. And then you would come across a carcass, a sheep that had died in the moor and just rotted. It was still in the process of rotting. The Bible says we were dead in trespasses and sins. We smelled bad. But something happened. The Father is seeking worshippers to turn the bad smell into a good smell. The day you got born again and began to lift up your hands and your heart and your voice and your prayers and your praise and your worship to the Lord, you started to smell good to Him. He said, boy, they smell good now. They smell good now. Hallelujah. You know, today your flesh may have said, oh, why don't you stay in bed? Or maybe tonight, why not just stay at home tonight? And that's why Jesus said something. That's why Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's why He taught us to pray in such a way that we are continually realigned with the throne. We were singing it tonight, Majesty, we worship Your Majesty. We sang, kingdom authority flows from Your throne. Powerful song. I believe it was Jack Hayford wrote that song many years ago. It's a powerful song. It's a scripture song. It's a song where the scripture is made alive and there's an anointing upon it. We've been singing it for years and it's just as powerful, the message it carries. Amen. Kingdom authority flows from His throne. Jesus taught us to pray in such a way that we're realigned with the throne, that we're realigned with His will and purpose for our lives. We invite the Father's kingdom to come. We invite His will to be done. And I believe we should do that, you know, not just as I said, not, I think I mentioned this maybe a couple of weeks ago, but let me just want to mention it again. We shouldn't be just praying these things by rote, you know, just as a ritual. I believe that we should be praying in the way Jesus taught us to pray, while praying in the Spirit. Listen to what it says in Romans chapter 8, verses 26 to 28. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. You know, one of the meanings for the Greek word parakletos, she said, I will give you another comforter, is a strengthener. He's a strengthener. He comes to strengthen us in our weakness. Paul said, I'm praying for you Ephesian Christians, and he's praying for us. He said, I'm praying for those who believe in the word, and bum, 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 bum. It's come right down to us right now. He was praying the heart of God for us, that we would be strengthened by His Spirit in the inner man, that we would have a revelation of the length and the breadth and the depth and the height of the love of Christ. Come on, that we begin to experience the exceedingly and abundantly above all that God has for us. that manifests according to the power that works in us. Hallelujah. And he's saying, the Spirit, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. Josie testified earlier, we gave her a lift home after church this morning. She said, I think it was last night or the night, but she just went into tongues, prayed for 2 hours in the Spirit. Didn't know why, didn't know what she was praying for, but the Lord knew. That's real. That's as real as it gets. She was realigning herself with heaven's throne, the power of God, kingdom authority was flowing to her and through her. She was praying into a situation she didn't even know what it was. But I'll guarantee you it was helping somebody. I'll guarantee you it was releasing angels on behalf of somebody. It was keeping somebody safe from danger. From the thief who comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Words that cannot be articulated. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. If you want to pray God's will, pray in the Spirit. Jesus said, pray this way, Father. Hallowed be your name, Robobo Sakakakita Hoto and the Babo. Your kingdom come, Robo Sikiria la Mariana Romoraduso Kobohasa Kiete. Ha 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 ha. Ooh, I can feel His kingdom come. Ooh, Rabashiko Bunda, yes, the kingdom authority. Your will be done, Ribo Riala Mariana Robusaka. Oh, Robushikatera deso Tolamohosa. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. On earth as it is in heaven, O Robo Shikaria Bosoko Yendalabahasa. I don't know what that means, Lord, but you do. Let it happen. Bring it on. Hallelujah. Give us today our daily bread. I haven't a clue what that means, Lord, but Robo Shiria Bababasika Babosoko Yendalabahasa. I don't know whether I need sliced or plain today or pan or whatever. Glory to God. I don't know if I need wholemeal, if I need white, if I need the glory to God. Give me today my daily bread, whether that's deliverance or healing or whatever it is, provision for my family. Robo Shiriba. Never forget that morning the Lord said to me, pray for Ruth. I thought, I started praying for Ruth. I didn't know why I was praying for Ruth. That happened very often. The Lord will say something like that specifically. He'd pray for Ruth. Ruth was an elegant. I didn't even know she had a boyfriend. Later on, I got a phone call. Ruth's been in an accident. She was on the back of her boyfriend's motorbike. Boyfriend? What boyfriend? Don't worry, though. She's okay. She's in hospital right now, but she's okay. Discovered later, blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, you can imagine you were a boyfriend or a girlfriend one time. You know what it's like. Show off a little bit, get on that bike, and brrrr. You know what more bikes are like, anyway. Some of you guys, you know what I mean. More bikes are just there's something about more bikes. You just want to open that thing right up. Some old lady can pull it out of her house and boom. She didn't look to see who was in the coming or not. More slammed on the anchors, hit that. Car, Ruth would fly. She wasn't even wearing a proper helmet because her boyfriend used to have a scooter, so she was wearing a scooter helmet. Didn't even fit. The helmet went one way, she went the other way. I want to tell you something, glory to God, an angel caught her. And she flew through the air for I don't know how many feet, something 30, 40, 50 feet. We went and saw the scene of the accident later on, and he caught her and he laid her down at the verge. Come on, I didn't know, but he knew. All he did was for me to get in alignment All I did was for me to be obedient and begin to pray and say, what am I? I didn't know how to pray. I didn't say, Lord, if I start praying for real, I'm going to run out of words in about 3 sentences. What am I? Sika, am I? Sukabunde. Hallelujah. I know that my God came through for me that day. Hallelujah. I know the statistics a bit more, but I go to the altar in another few weeks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you, Lord, that might never have happened. That's the God of more we're serving. Hallelujah. So that's the God of more. You want some of that? You can have as much of it as you want. You can have as much of it as you choose to have. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How hungry are you for more? Do you want more of God? Do you want more of His activity in your life? Give us today our daily bread. That's called building an altar. Everywhere Abraham went, he built an altar. Why? Because he was a worshipper. That's called being a worshipper. We've been going through this Genesis account that says that after we touched on this, we read these verses this morning where Abraham goes and rescues Lot. It says the king of Sodom came out to him and said, you can choose every day whether you want to live in the spirit or whether you want to go back to living that old flesh life. You can go back under and up against all that mess you've been under and up against all your life previously, or you can choose to stay above it. It says, Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High. And he blessed Abraham. Well, isn't that awesome? God's only got blessing for us. Nothing but blessing. He blessed Abraham, saying, blessed be Abraham by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. I'm only here this evening to tell you what God's already said about you. Just to remind you of it. Amen. That's my job. Bless, just in case you forget. Help you remember. God loves you unconditionally. He has a place of security for you. He's accepted you in Christ. Hallelujah. He has an awesome purpose for your life. Blessed be Abraham by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High who delivered your enemies into your hand. Then Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. That's called being a worshipper. People say, I don't know about that tithing business. It's part of our worship. Hallelujah. It says, present yourselves as a living sacrifice. Well, here's some of your living. I took a tenth of my living and I give it to the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on. I'm not going to leave him something in my will. I'm bringing him something of my living. He doesn't want dead sacrifices. He wants living sacrifices. The king of Sodom said to Abraham, give me the people and keep the goods for yourself. But Abraham said to the king of Sodom, look, pal, I've raised my hand to the Lord. God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and I've taken an oath that I will accept nothing belonging to you. I'm not coming back down and taking your mess. Not even a thread or the thong of a sandal, so that you will never be able to say, I made Abraham rich. Yeah. See, Abraham trusted in the blessing. He responded by bringing his tithe that kept him in the cycle of blessing. He brought his worship. Amen. We've got nothing else to respond to the Lord with but worship. He brought part of his living as an expression of his worship. People say tithing is under the law. Well, the law is hundreds of years away at this point. The tithe was part of a worship. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service and spiritual worship. That you may prove what is the good and acceptable. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We need to be every day proving what is the good and acceptable and perfect. We need to be the evidence. We are here to be the evidence. Jesus came as the evidence. He said, this is what the Father's like. If anybody's seen me, he's seen the Father. I was walking the hills one day with good old faithful Ben when he was still with us. That was a dog. And I was meditating on some of these things, and I was thinking about what Jesus said. He said, you know, Jesus said when the Holy Spirit comes, he won't speak about himself. The Holy Spirit will point people to me. And Jesus came, he didn't come to speak about himself, he came to reveal the Father. I said, that's really cool, Lord. I said, so where do we fit into all this? He said, you're there as the evidence of the Holy Spirit. Amen. To point people to the Holy Spirit. People say, how come everybody else got sick and you didn't? Because I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit lives in me. Oh, Holy Spirit. And as soon as you start talking about the Holy Spirit, it points to Jesus. He points to Jesus. Amen. And Jesus points people to the Father, because the Father is looking for worshippers. He said, that's your role. You tell people about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will point them to Jesus. Jesus will point them to the Father. And they'll be restored to the relationship that they were created to enjoy with their Creator. Hallelujah. Melchizedek was the priest of God Most High. I'm going to take this opportunity. Hallelujah. Teach you a little bit about a couple of things. Scripture is clear that our tithes are to be brought into the storehouse. The storehouse is the place from which we are fed. The storehouse is the local church. And it also teaches that the primary use of the tithes is not... Who did Abraham bring the tithe to? To the priest of God Most High. The primary use of the tithes is not the maintenance of buildings. The Lord said to Moses, take up an offering, a freewill offering for the tabernacle, for all the furnishings of the tabernacle. The primary use of the tithes is not the maintenance of the buildings or the payment of bills, but for providing for the needs of those who minister. You need to hang in here because we'll get to the good bit in the end, you know what I'm saying? This is good anyway. But the 1 Timothy chapter 5 verses 7. I'm just here to remind you how to stay blessed. God's way. 1 Timothy chapter 5 verses 17 to 18. Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. First Corinthians 9:14 says that those who preach the gospel should live of the gospel. But listen up. I want you to hear this. When the Lord sees his ministers' needs being made a priority, he takes it personally. And he responds accordingly. Listen to what it says. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. After what? After he had brought his tithe to the priest of God Most High. It says, after this. Say, after this. After this. Say, after this. As he brought it as an expression of his worship. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. I saw how you met the need of the man of God. And I want you to know that I will meet all of your needs. Paul said to the Philippian church, he said, because you have met my need, my God will meet all of your needs, supply all of your needs out of his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Maybe it's time to double the pastor's salary. It's an act of faith. You asking for a pay rise? No, I'm just preaching truth. I'm just putting it out there. It's not auto-suggestion. I didn't do it subliminally. I'm just telling you what the word says. I'm telling you what the primary use of the tithes are. Glory to God. That means you meet that need before you meet any other need. And God says, now I'll meet your need. I'll come in behind you. I am your shield. I am your exceedingly great reward. Those who come to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder. of those who diligently seek Him. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Do it His way. And He will come in behind you and He will ensure that everything else is taken care of, well taken care of. He didn't just say, I'm your reward. He didn't even just say, I'm your great reward. I'm your exceedingly. That's the same language as is used in Ephesians chapter 3. I am your exceeding abundantly, far above all reward. Amen. I think there's something, folks, I think we tend to overlook sometimes. I think we overlook it sometimes, especially when we slide into super spiritual mode. Who knows about super spiritual mode? Because it says something in Ephesians chapter 3. It says that the exceeding abundantly above all is contingent upon what we ask or think. You want access to the exceeding abundantly above all? Well, it says ask. It says according to what we ask or think. He's able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we ask or think. But you've got to ask first. We don't get because we don't ask. The Lord tells Abraham that He is a shield and is exceedingly great reward. But we've been reading it over and over and over and over again. In Psalm 84, the Lord God is a sun and shield. He will withhold no good thing. He will give grace and glory and withhold no good thing. Listen to what it says, Hebrews 11 verse 6. Without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Now think, folks, of everything that the Lord has already blessed Abraham with. He said he became very wealthy with livestock and with silver and with gold. This man is seriously blessed. He's got 318 SAS, stormtroopers, saved and sanctified. Hallelujah. Come on. But Abraham said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me? Abraham, naughty boy. You should be grateful for everything you've already got. No, Abraham said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me? Since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. I want to tell you something, folks. Abraham's very quickly learning what it means to move up to a new dimension of living. A new dimension of supernatural living. Living the life of a worshipper of the true and living God. Hallelujah. Not stuck in the limitations of worshipping some old silver ball in the sky that only shows up at night anyhow. I mean, why did they not go for the sun? Come on. It's a bigger ball. More heat and more light. Maybe they were being humble. He actually has the audacity to ask what God can give him on top of everything else. Worshippers, as I said this morning, your hunger for God must exceed your allegiance to the traditional, to the traditions of men, to what religion has taught you, you know, just be content with that, you know. No, it goes after more. It goes after the God of more. He's always got more. How much more? How many times did Jesus say, how much more will your Heavenly Father? How much more will your Heavenly Father give? Jesus said to pray this way, give us today. And tomorrow, say it again. He didn't say give us today necessarily the same thing. Maybe the bread for today won't be sufficient for what the bread for yesterday was. Give us today. Abraham says, what will you give me? Okay. You said you're my shield, my exceedingly great reward, so what will you give me? That's how faith prays. Give us today. Not scattergun prayer, specific requests. Name it and claim it. Yeah. Abraham doesn't miss and hit the wall. He says, this is what I want. This is what I want you to give me. Because he's asking it will be. Possibly. Maybe. If I feel like it, if I choose, don't ask, and it will be given to you. He says that whatever we ask in Jesus' name, it will be done for us. I tell you, we haven't even got past first base a lot of the time on that stuff. I've said earlier, what are we asking for? We need to be asking for things that are off the scale. Abraham's asking for a son when he knows and God knows that the machinery ain't even working anymore. Like it should. That doesn't matter to Abraham. Amen. It doesn't matter what report the doctor gives you. God still says, I'm your healer. You could ask him for healing. Glory to God. It doesn't matter what the doctor said. It doesn't matter what the x-rays say. Oh yeah, they're telling the truth. But the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has lifted up above that truth. We live by a higher truth. Jesus came full of grace and truth. A higher truth. We're not under the law of sin and death anymore. We're not under the x-ray. We're not under the doctor's prognosis anymore. Hallelujah. God changed his name. He said, all right, we'll start with changing your name. He put him to sleep. Cut a sacrifice with himself. Cut a covenant with himself. Included Abraham in that covenant and said, okay, now we're going to change your name. Your name's no longer Abraham. It's Abraham. Now everywhere you go and somebody asks you, hey Cole, what's your name? You're going to say, I'm the father of multitudes. And you don't even have one child yet. But it doesn't matter. Because God said it. And I believe when God says it, he'll do it. I believe when the Lord said he would bless me, that he would bless me. And I've seen his blessing, but I ain't content with the blessing of God. I want more. What will you give me? I don't have a son. I want a son from my own loins. I want a son of my own with my wife, with Sarah, my beloved, my first love. He says, okay, we'll have to cut a covenant on that and then we'll change your name. And from now on, you're going to have to speak a name that doesn't make any sense to people who look at things from a natural perspective. Come on. Some people think just because healing doesn't immediately manifest in their body, as if God isn't their healer anymore. Abram went around for years saying, I'm a father of multitudes. And it looked like things were going downhill instead of uphill in the natural. Come on, somebody help me. Hallelujah. But what happens if the doctor tells you this is such and such, this is what's going on in your body, this is how it's going to be, there's no way back from this, that's just the way it is. Are you going to change your confession? Are you going to stop saying he's the Lord who heals me? No, I'm going to keep saying it, glory to God, till that healing comes, because it's got to come, because he said he's the Lord who heals me. People will call you crazy. That's why you're best not to hang around too much with people that will call you crazy. Amen. Hang around with people that will encourage you and tell you, amen, brother, keep preaching that. Keep telling that. You just keep saying that. We're standing with you. Lord, we don't doubt for one minute that God will say, do what he said he would do. I mean, everybody has a go at Sarah because she laughed when Abraham came back and told her. The joy of the Lord. When the boy was born, what did they call him? Laughter. Amen. Whatever we ask in Jesus' name will be done for us. See, our limited, our restricted thinking has so limited our experience of God's miraculous provision because we just didn't ask. Or we asked for things that didn't really faze God one bit, you know. Nothing fazes him. That's what you need. That's the message you need to get down on the inside of you. Nothing fazes him. Whatever we ask, we are never going to be asking him to do something that's difficult for him. We're never going to be asking something that's going to put him out or insult him. We're actually acknowledging that he can do what we cannot do. Well, simply worship is acknowledging that he can do the impossible. Worship is acknowledging that we are giving him the opportunity to manifest his glory. And I'll finish with this, then we'll come back to this again. Remember what Moses said, Exodus chapter 15, verse 11. Who is like you? This is the expression of worship. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Interpretation, who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Father, in Jesus' name, I pray, Lord, that we'd stir up the gift that's within us. That we'd stir up the gift of faith that you've placed inside each one of us. That faith that is activated by the simple belief that you love us. Because you love us, you've promised to bless us. And because you've promised to bless us, you will bless us. Amen. And even after you've blessed us and blessed us and blessed us, there's more blessing that we can access. Father, stir it up in us, Lord. I pray we'd stir it up and stir it up and stir it up and begin to ask and ask and ask and beyond and build our asking, Lord, into places, Lord, where we're asking for nations. Just like you told us to. Just like you invited us to. Ask for the nations and I will give them to you. Oh, hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask for the nations. We ask for the nation of Scotland tonight. Every soul, every man, woman and child, Lord, saved, healed and delivered, walking in the manifestation of your goodness, walking in the revelation of your glory. In Jesus' name, bring it on. Amen.